latest Bronze and Modern Gods.
I'm Richard.
And I'm John.
You can tell we don't rehearse any of this stuff. Oh, it's
awesome. For your friends. We don't need to be rehearsed. Bonus episode time. Sorry it's a day late. We have lives. What are you going to do? We've got your questions. We've got hopefully some answers. We've got your comments. And we've got a quick comic book NFT market watch. But first, breaking news. Richard, CGC is now offering grader's notes to anyone who has a CGC membership.
Right. For those who don't know, CGC has typically charged you $5 to view the grader's note of a book that you did not get graded yourself. So if you're doing research, you know, you're doing your due diligence on a purchase, you have to shell out $5 to get that information.
This is long overdue. I really think it's a bit of a game changer for CGC and for, I don't know, slab books in general. It's kind of a response, though, if you think about it, because CBCS has always offered free graders. Mm-hmm. I see everybody on social media like lauding CGC for doing this. Like, good job, CGC. Borok and company have been doing it since, you know, they started, I think.
Yeah, and PGX has an option where you can actually have the grader's notes put on the back of the label.
I'm sorry, you said PGX. You're cute. I do wish they had taken it one step further and done the CBCS route where there's a QR code on the back.
Yeah.
Just scan and go, buddy. I mean, that's really the way it should be. Baby steps, right? First, they got their house in order in terms of submissions.
You know, that's a very good point. You know, QR code makes it so easy to just, as you're doing a purchase, just hold it up and scan it. Now they do have the barcode on the label, so you can scan the barcode, but the QR code is so much easier.
Yeah, I mean, you just need your phone camera, unless you still have your iPhone 6, Richard. You're not one of those Android people, are you?
Oh, no. I write iPhone software for a living, so of course I have an iPhone.
Sorry, Android people. There's no better way to tell people you're poor than having a green text bubble. I kid the Android people.
Wow, you're really just alienating half of our market right there. Okay.
Actually, Android, not to really derail this conversation, but Android has much deeper market penetration worldwide than Apple. I mean, if you look at stats, but let's get back to comics. All right, it is time for viewer mail.
You've got mail.
Richard, start us off.
Yeah, my first piece of viewer mail is from Jason Brownell, a friend of the show. I honestly think there is a real chance they bring Doom and the Fantastic Four into the MCU by having it where Doom trapped them in 2099. It's multiversal, which is cool. It's Doom that invented time travel in Marvel Comics. That's true. Doom 2099 and Fantastic Four 2099 are dollar bin dives all day, are solid reads. And if they ever happened, those books would be worth the pickup. I love the episodes. Please, sir, I want some more. Well, thank you so much, Jason. Yeah, you know, this is interesting. You know, we're talking about our Avengers choices. I think this is a pretty cool thing. Doom is coming to the MCU. They don't. I think personally, they're going to do it in some grand way. Doom is going to be introduced as the new villain to the MCU, and he'll slowly convert from a villain to a anti-hero. That's how I see it going. Maybe that's going to be in Black Panther 2. Maybe that's going to be in a Fantastic Four movie. But he's coming. He's going to be a part of the MCU. They can't not have him. So, yeah, I would love to see them bring him sooner rather than later. And if they can tie in somehow 2099, you know, the multiverse that's happening in the new Spider-Man movie, it's going to be a real, real cool thing to see how they bring him in. Because he's just not going to walk on the stage and, you know, just announce he's there. They're going to make him have a grand entrance.
No spoilers, but have you seen No Way Home yet?
I'm going to see it tomorrow morning at 10:30. That was as early as I can get tickets.
All right. No spoilers, but Dr. Droom is the central villain in No Way Home. I'm sorry, everybody. Did I spoil this movie for you?
You're really being an a-hole today, aren't you?
Coffee before. No, of course I don't. I haven't seen it. I'm really avoiding spoilers. I haven't seen Eternals yet. Thankfully, yeah. It's finally coming to Disney Plus in January. So
yeah, that's where I'm going to see it.
Yeah, at this point, I want to make a quick note about Fantastic Four 2099, written in the beginning by Carl Kessel, fantastic writer, just a stellar inker, but he's actually a very good writer as well. And so, if you have not checked out Fantastic Four 2099, it's a short run. I think it's only 7 issues. Pick it up for sure. All right. My first piece of viewer mail is in regards to Valiant. We were talking about pre-Unity Valiant, early days of Valiant comics, and it comes from John Big Daddy Ross. All right, Big Daddy. I picked up the Valiant books when they came out. They exploded, and I traded them all to my LCS for very dead Silver Age books, including Avengers 2, 3, and 4, Cap 100, and Hulk 102. One of the best deals I ever made. John Big Daddy Ross, I feel you. Like I just said last week, I did the same thing. I traded a bunch of Harbinger 1s with the coupons, Magnus Robot Fighter number 1s for an Avengers 4, and it was beautiful. And I had that one for years. Did not beat my 8.5 that I currently have, but I had a nice copy. And yeah, that is smart. You know, that's kind of what I do with modern books now. Is I just turn them into silver. I'm like Rumpelstiltskin, except it's gold, it's silver.
You remind me of Rumpelstiltskin.
Thank you. I usually get Popeye, or who's the Star Wars guy?
Captain Rex.
Captain Old Dude. Yeah, those people I'm often mistaken for Captain Rex and Popeye. So I will take Rumpelstiltskin. All right, what's your next piece of humor?
My next piece of mail is from Greg McPherson the second. This is in regards to talking about our Avengers picks from the last show. This made me think of 12-year-old me casting X-Men movies. I still think Russell Crowe would have been a great Wolverine. Okay, I could see that. Yeah. Not so certain about my Van Damme Gambit.
Well, he has the accent.
No. I am a little questioning the Van Damme as Gambit, but I could definitely see Russell Crowe being Wolverine.
All right. Talking about our dream Avengers teams, our next piece of viewer mail comes from our good friend Hiram. Do one for Justice League. You know, we're way ahead of you. We got it scheduled for Monday's episode with two very special guests. One that you guys can guess right away in the comments, I'm sure. And another guest that's going to really surprise you, hopefully. So stick around. We will do our Justice League dream teams. You'll get to hear me defend Nort.
Nort?
Nort was like the Green Lantern, like a dog.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Definitely be interesting.
You have another piece of your mail about our Avengers picks.
Yes, my next piece is for from Thunder God. Puck as an Avenger? Puck? Seriously? Yeah, no. That is some powerful stuff you're smoking.
I don't think. You weren't smoking, it was mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Puck is one of those characters that I can still remember first appeared. He was so eager to be a part of Alpha Flight. And he is one of those characters that has no inherent abilities other than the fact that he's such a go-getter. And I just think that kind of energy is something that the Avengers could use. I mean, they've had Black Widow, for example, who had no inherent powers. Why not have a little short guy who running around? To me, it's a fun pick.
Look, if we can have the Black Widow and Hawkeye fighting the Chitauri, and surviving.
Right.
We can have Puck bouncing around and like kicking Thanos in the chin or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I could see Puck, you know, being all pithy and, you know, full of fire. That's just fun. That's just fun.
And Thunder God, I have to come at you a little bit here. You missed the great opportunity in your comment to say Puckett as an Avenger. What the Puck?
Or Puck you.
Yeah. Puck you, Richard. Come on, Thunder God, step it up next time. All right. My last piece of viewer mail is from Catface. All right. Checked out Vivi, found it to be just another nonsense marketplace that's hyped up by bots and bad buying practices to create the illusion that the items are great investments. Welcome to NFTs, Catface. Similar to most crypto, to be honest. Okay, good. You realize that. People live in a dream world now. Days where they want $100 to become $100,000 because of a tweet. What goes up must come down. I also think most people don't realize you need someone to buy from you. So even if the items go up, most people do not have $5,000 just to spend on but a bit of code, I think is what he's saying here, that happens to be encrypted. Catface, I agree with you in some aspects, and obviously I disagree with you in others. There are valid NFTs out there that are actual works of art that have utility behind them. Look that up if you're not familiar with utility in NFTs. But Vivi, this is a great segue, Richard. Fire up the modem. Dial America Online, that 800 number, because it's time for a real quick comic NFT watch. Now, before I start, all you people that complain about the comic NFT watch, we have analytics on this channel. The views go up when we do this segment. So either you're watching, you leave it on, and you walk out of the room, or more people are interested in than you think. The big news this week is that Vivi finally minted their NFTs on the Immutable X platform. What does that mean, John? You just said a bunch of words. Well, this potentially, and I'm using the word potentially here, means that you can take your NFTs off the Vivi platform eventually and sell them in other marketplaces for other cryptocurrencies, or you can even finally cash out if you want to. But not yet. They're in phase two. Phase three is supposed to come in January and February. But if you go on Immutable X right now and you type in your OMI code on your Vivi account, you can see your NFTs on the marketplace. The ones that you have, they've actually been minted as real NFTs now. So the argument of, are these actual NFTs? That argument's over now. There are actual NFTs now. Meanwhile, back to you, Catface, and your comment. We got this DM this week. I'm going to not reveal who it came from. I'm not going to give the link or anything here. I'm just going to share the comment with you guys. Hello, we just created a new Discord group called VV Pump Club. That sounds filthy.
It kind of does.
Our main goal is to give values to some undervalued collectibles by massive buying. We will also do a few giveaways since 100% free. Join the army, little rocket ship emoji, fire emoji. This is market manipulation 101, is it not?
It is. It is. This is what happens when you have a non-regulated market.
This is if I and Richard got together with every major dealer across the world and said, all right, I got a copy of Avengers 4. Richard's got a copy of Avengers 4. Let's all buy Avengers 4s and hold them and not leak them into the market, except we'll coordinate together and we'll do it one at a time in a coordinated fashion so the supply is completely dried up and we can manipulate the price. I mean, that never happens. It doesn't, actually. If it does, let me know. But you know, it goes to Catface's very valid point. This stuff is not 100%. I don't know. What's the term? How would you describe this? It's market manipulation, right?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, the market is based on perception, right? Yeah. So whatever the perceived value of this is not gold bullion, what we're talking about, you know, whatever the perceived value of that particular NFT at that moment is its value. So if somebody can alter people's perception of the value and profit from it, they're darn well going to do that. So I think it's naive to think that there aren't people who are doing that. I think people are either having multiple accounts and are buying up their own property to increase the perceived value of that property, and then they'll eventually sell it to someone for real. There are people out there who are running bot farms and are buying, you know, multiples of these drops as they come with that express purpose in mind. It's inevitable. I think as a consumer of these things, we need to be aware that there is no federal agency that is watching and monitoring these transactions like you have in a banking system. This is basically the Wild West. So make sure that when you do buy an NFT or any of these digital properties, that you understand the risk that's involved. Don't sink your 401k into it.
Please don't.
Understand the risk that's involved, because there is risk, and there is, with great risk can also come great rewards. So I completely understand that there's people doing manipulation like this behind the scenes. It's not the first time it's been done.
And it's not limited to VV. I mean, no. we've been around the block. But, you know, you see things like the Whitney Houston NFT that sold this week for $1 million. And then you look under the hood and you find out there were only two bidders. That's, I don't know. That only two people wanted to go for this?
No, but, you know, we're talking about it, right? I mean, for that fictitious bid, they get a lot of notoriety.
Allegedly, we don't know. It's
$1 million. I can spend $1 million much better than Whitney Houston NFT.
It could be legit. Who knows? But buyer beware. Buy what you like. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same advice we give with comics. Buy what you like, and if you get lucky, awesome. If you don't, you have something you like.
Yeah, don't fall into the, you know, what is it, crypto thug? What's the
CryptoPunk?
CryptoPunk, thank you.
CryptoPunk. Bored apes, crypto apes, monkey, ape, rabbit, crypto kitty.
There are a million of these things, which people realize I can have a random number generator that slaps together various properties on a figure and sell multiple variations of it.
Well, some of these have utility. Like I said, coming with a community aspect to it, and there's something you're going to get in return for possessing this thing, either now or in the future, that's a very different conversation than buying a gold Homer Simpson strangling Bart Simpson figure.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, the NFT has to have some kind of intrinsic, maybe intrinsic isn't the best word. It has to have more value than the now. Like, you know, right now on VV, they're selling a Deadpool Christmas or a holiday special edition, which to me is ludicrous. I mean, it has value here in the holiday season.
What's it going to mean on December 26th?
Exactly. What's going to mean on July 4th, you know?
Uncanny X-Men 308. Well, it takes place in Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Yeah, those are temporal things. And as the time changes.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, is that going to be our new
why not?
Okay.
Well, all right. Short and sweet this week, because I need to get ready and pack for Ontario Comic Con. I'm going to be there tomorrow, Saturday, December 18th. If you see me out and about in Southern California, make sure you flag me down and say hi. We'll take a selfie, and you can tell me to stop doing comic NFT podcasts.
I'm very jealous. I hope you guys have a good time.
Well, then we're going to go to Palm Springs. Usually it's, you know, 90 and gorgeous there. Tomorrow, I think the high is going to be 67. So.
Wow, in Palm Springs?
No, I know. Well, you know, global warming's a myth, man. whatever. Okay. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods. And Richard, they can also go where?
BronzeandModernGods.com.
All right, we will see you guys on Monday for our special Dream Justice League lineup.
Everybody stay safe.